Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our sanctuary. Through Christ, we find refuge from God's justice and find a safe haven where we can enter into the presence of the Holy God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Having said all that, this is Wretched Radio. The world is culturally clueless. They are spiritually depraved. They are morally bankrupt. And you and I might have a propensity to get a little bit peevish toward the world. But when we study our Savior, we see that he was filled with compassion. He saw their greatest need, not merely to have their wayward thinking straightened, but to have their souls saved. And so he was moved with compassion because he understands our frames. We are but dust. And he sees us as a compassionate God who needs tenderness, compassion, mercy, loving kindness, and he doles it out constantly. And as his follower, it is now my mandate to do likewise. Having said that, is there ever a time when we see people's activities and compassion is actually the secondary emotional response? And I think the answer to that question is yes. I think there is a great difference between those who are propagating evil ideas, those who are doing evil things, and those people that are just goats that are following along. Those are the ones with whom we should have compassion. But I think sometimes there are those who are making it their life's endeavor to be destructive and to be wicked and to be cruel. And maybe for those people, I don't think they'd be the rule, because leaders usually aren't. Followers are typically the majority. But there's enough people in this world that I do think we need to draw a line that says, I have a modicum of compassion for you because you're so lost, but you are so flagrantly evil. My predominant response to you is righteous indignation. Case in point, a BBC special on maids. No, not the people who clean up your hotel room, but these are people who help you die. In Canada, they're called maids, medical assistants in death. Oh, medical assist. That sounds so helpful and medicinal, doesn't it? It's not. It's murder. And this is a woman who, by the way, has a side gig as an abortionist. She is a medical doctor. And she was interviewed in this BBC special. And what you're going to hear two women, the interviewer, you'll hear her second. And then you're going to hear this woman. And Jimmy, when you saw her picture, what did you say she looked like?
A sweet old grandmother.
Yeah, she's not. She is downright evil. And I think for some people, that should be our first response.
And then there are people who don't feel comfortable dying at home. For example, they don't want their spouse to have to deal with the memory of them dying in their home.
Oh, she is so nice. Who wants that? Oh, what an angel.
So then they come here, and this is a recliner. And so people recline here, and they can snuggle up.
Snuggle. Oh, they get to snuggle.
And so it's a good place for some people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a really good place for some people to be killed by a woman who looks as pleasant as she could be. You'd bump into her at the grocery store and exchange pleasantries. Do I have compassion for her? Sure, to a degree. But somebody like this who is perpetrating evil, I think this is where our righteous indignation and our desire to shout a different message from the rooftops is required. We need to call this out. I think to simply respond and go, well, She's just lost and dispirited. She's Eramenemoi, so I just have compassion. I don't think that's right either. I do believe that some people, they can elicit more than one emotion.
How many deaths have you been involved with? Over 400.
Because she's been counting.
That sounds like a lot. Is that what you do now?
I still run a contraception and abortion clinic in addition to my maid work.
Would you ever...
In addition to my maid work. So I kill him in the beginning, I kill him at the end, but I am a doctor of death. This is wickedness.
Say no.
Oh, she would say no. Oh,
I mean, we have a law.
I mean, I kill them all. Come on. Don't be silly, interviewer. We do have laws.
And I obey this law. And so there are people who are not eligible under the law. Now, there are.
That would be basically a but. But having said that, I wouldn't go about the business of killing everyone. Some exceptions can be made.
The situations where I might find somebody not eligible or eligible when another person won't because of the way our law is written, I look at it and think, what you really needed was some more drugs. But you want my drugs? I'll give them to you.
No. Certainly she nice? Jimmy, she's a giver. Some doctors would say no. But if you determine you need them, which is, I think, always the way it's supposed to be in the patient-doctor relationship.
For sure.
I just walk in. You know what I need? Hook me up, doc. I
certainly met people who are no more disabled than I am, saying that life is not acceptable in this state.
In other words, yeah, there's laws. But if people are kind of bummed about life, perfectly healthy. Yeah, I'll off them.
I love my job. You know, I've always loved being a doctor, but and I delivered over 1,000 babies, and I took care of families. But this is the very best work I've ever done in the last 7 years.
Wow. Congratulations. I'm sorry. That's just evil. And that what? Now, here's the kicker. Now, this is, do we still have compassion? Yeah, this woman better get saved. Because, woo, there are degrees of intensity in hell. And I think it's safe to say that false teachers are probably going to feel it the most. Because the worst crime we can commit is misrepresenting God. That we can say we're speaking on behalf of the Lord and we're not. And we misinform his people. Woo! God is not pleased with that. But then I think that there are people who just do such a gross amount of evil. It will be worse. Didn't Jesus say that? Matthew chapter 10. See how convenient it is when you preach expositionally, you actually remember this stuff. In Matthew chapter 10, it's going to be better. So Jesus is sending his disciples, and he gives them some instructions. They don't apply to us. First of all, he tells them, just go to the Jewish people. Remember John 4, that salvation is first for the Jews, who were then to be a light, to lighten the Gentile nations. God's evangelism plan, it was always global, but his means of accomplishing global domination was through a nation. And by the way, when I mean domination, I mean where he would rule in the hearts of his people. Don't get all excited, my Christian nationalist friends. He worked through the nation of Israel. And so Jesus told the disciples, just go there first. So they basically were traveling about Galilee. So was he, by the way, simultaneously. So he didn't just send them and sit back and get a mani and a pedi. He went and did the exact same thing because the fields are white. And he gave them some instructions. Don't bring along money. And when you go, just find somebody who's amenable to hosting you and stay put. Even if the accommodations aren't incredible, just stay because it's better to be focused. The task is urgent. Make it snappy. Get on it. And if they don't accept it, just knock the dust off your sandals and move on. In other words, the message was twofold. Rely on me. And this is urgent. And then he said, To those people who reject you, it will be worse for the people in Sodom and Gomorrah on Judgment Day. First of all, we learn that there are indeed degrees of horribleness in hell. Second of all, rejecting Jesus when one of his ambassadors shows up in your town, by the way, accompanied by authority given from the king to heal the sick, to cast out demons, you reject that, going to be worse for you. So we see degrees of hell. And this woman, this maid, doctor, which total oxymoron, total, this, hey, Jimmy?
Yes.
I'm going to be a lifeguard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love drowning people.
Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm best job I've ever had. You just, the little ones, you just go, boom, down they go. Oh, sure, they kick for a bit. You'd go, lifesaver? You're a monster. Ditto. 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 And so I think that by developing a core of compassion, that doesn't mean that that is the exclusive emotion that we should have when we see really, really evil people. This is Wretched Radio. This May, how would you like to create countless Mother's Day celebrations? You say, I can't do that. I only have one mother. While that is most certainly true, there are countless women who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy situation, perhaps being pressured to abort their child. Enter Preborn Ministries, providing ultrasounds, clothing, food, counseling, and best of all, the gospel. And if you would consider supporting Preborn Ministries during the month of May, we have a matching gift campaign taking place, which means dollar for dollar, your gift will be matched. That means if you provide, say, 5 ultrasounds for $28 per ultrasound, that will be 10 babies, because women choose life when they see their child in utero. Would you please consider creating countless Mother's Day celebrations? Preborn.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of The Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Attributes of God. Psalm 115, verse 3 says that God does all that he pleases. God is sovereign over his whole creation. He has the right and the power to govern all things according to his will. Nothing occurs in your life that God, in his sovereignty, has not allowed. He is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes. Yes, we are. Yeah, this is Wretched Radio. Are we going to beat the horse? You bet we are.
Are you kidding me?
No, I am not kidding you. Jimmy, you have children, correct?
I do.
You've got three of them.
I sure do.
Do you love your kids?
Absolutely.
Do you ever get angry at your kids?
All the time.
Then you don't love them. Because if you're angry, you can't be loving simultaneously. And you'd say,
no.
I can do both.
That's right.
And I think that is true with the world. In general, it is my opinion. I don't have a statistic or I don't have a scientific report. Not like we follow the science these days. Did you see the study that came out about the kids that are confused about their gender? They go about the business of seeking, what do they call, whatever the fancy name is, they give it to call it mutilation.
Gender-affirming care.
And we're told you better affirm it, or we're not going to tell you as the school. Parents, you better stay out of it because your kids will kill themselves if you don't affirm them. And it turns out, oh, what do you know? Suicide rates go up 12 times. For those who do get that mutilating surgery, I don't think those two words go together, but follow the science? Yeah, only when it's convenient. So I don't have any science for this, but I think my general observation, you can concur or not, the vast majority of people on their planet are just lost. They're dispirited. They're trying their best to get through. And I believe that our primary response to those people should be the response Jesus had of compassion. But when Jesus saw people leading people to hell, making them twice the sons of hell that they are, ooh, it didn't sound compassionate. Now, was he compassionate toward those lost Pharisees? Of course he was. Our God is a God of compassion. It doesn't go away. But there are other emotions and other responses that are actually, I think, needed to bring Genghis Khan, that May doctor who offed 400 people by herself in Canada, claiming this is the best job I've ever had. My first response to that, I think anything else would be weird. And sometimes we see that, don't we, on the internet machine, that somebody will call out something that's evil. And then there's the inevitable comment, well, you know, you and I were sinners too. Yeah, that's true. And we do need to remember that. But that doesn't mean that overrides a sense of righteous indignation. And that's the balance we need to strike. And I think the helpful balance is found actually in the Bible. Because most of Jesus' work, it was filled with compassion, filled with tenderness. He didn't have to touch the hand of a little girl who was dead, making himself very unclean. But he did. And he didn't have to instruct people. Once he raised Jairus' daughter, get her something to eat. He's a compassionate God. He's a good God. And as he ministered, that's the face that we see. But there are also times when it's a different face that's demanded. We have biblical permission, but what is the percentage breakdown? If I had to guess, Jimmy, we'll be super generous here and say that there's five chapters. I think that's really high, but to be generous, because I'm thinking Matthew 23 and 24. Okay, let's make it four chapters. So 4 divided by 28. Equals?
4 divided by 20 is 8.
Really? 4 divided? Don't make me get on my cell phone.
No, this is at 3.
4? You do the math. I'll keep being righteously indignant. Okay, 4 divided by 20. That's the percentage of time that we see Jesus being righteously indignant because he's identifying this is evil, this is wicked. And don't forget, sometimes his standard of wickedness is different than ours. Whatever the grossest atrocity is that you and I can imagine, he sees other things as being worse, like representing him wrongly, falsely, making prophecies that didn't come from him. blaspheming him, calling yourself a believer, but not acting like it. He despises those things. And when he sees people that are leading the charge, then he gets indignant with them. Jimmy, what's 4 divided by 28?
7.
You were pretty good though, dude.
Close.
Okay, so 7% of the time, we see Jesus getting indignant. The rest of the time, his guts were moved with compassion. Now consider the leaders in our world. The number of people who are propagating wickedness. I don't know what the percentage is, but I don't think that you could make the case that it's double digits or more. And I think those people, the people, for instance, who are arguing that children should be allowed to mutilate themselves at the hands of, air quote, doctors, that's just evil. Do I want them to get saved? Yeah, but it's evil. And it's wicked. And it's terrible. Do I want them to repent? Yes, I do. But these people are atrocious and they need to repent because judgment day is coming. And so it is. I think we need to find our balance. For instance, I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers a slew, a veritable slew. Oh, stories, you decide. Should I just have compassion on these people? Just have compassion. Or should I maybe kind of... And I think the distinction is follower versus leader, consumer versus producer. Propagators are evil. Those who just follow along like lost sheep, they just deserve our compassion. So here's a Mancilla. I think I'm tipping my hand already. There's a new book that's out. It's called The Religion of Whiteness: How Racism Distorts Christian Faith. Two authors suggest 2/3 of white Christians in the U.S. have elevated whiteness to a religion itself. I don't know every Christian in America, but that hasn't been my experience. Got it. Oh, and I know the response from the CRT folks, from the woke folks. They'd say, that doesn't mean you're not, that you're not a white supremacist because you don't think about it, but I don't think about it. I can't, I'm looking at myself in the morning and my beard is trimmed, my hair's working, I flossed, and I'm white. Yeah, it's a good day. Not once. And yet these people, without a shred of evidence, they just impugn an entire people group. They depict a Christianity that effectively worships the white race with a white Jesus at its center. I have to confess, I don't think of the level of melanin in my Savior's skin. The religion of whiteness strives to maintain whites at the top of the racial hierarchy as part of God's ordained order. Here's a quote from one of them. There's a ton, and you're just going to go, and I think rightly so. When we say whiteness, we're talking about the dominance that white people enjoy over people of color. So it's not as though someone is saying, I attend the church of whiteness. It's that they're caught up in the worship of the dominance that white people enjoy. Okay, so white Christian, you go to church, racist. You don't know it, but you are. Have you ever wondered what contemporary Gnosticism smells like? This is it. There's a couple of rhetorical moves that are made so you never have to actually name it. One of them is that Jesus is white, and Jesus, by definition, is supposed to be for everybody. So Jesus is universal. So as long as Jesus is white and universal, then whiteness is universal. Jimmy, did you know that that's what we were up to?
I did not. No news to me.
It's important to note, said the authors, 80% of the churches are still homogenous. Well, that's true for black, white, Hispanic. That's standard. The difficulty is the whiteness of the church can remain even when the church isn't entirely white. In other words, they're never happy. That, to me, is just not to the level of the maid doctor in Canada, but that's nasty business. Reading an article from My Christian Daily, The Persecuted Church, The Statistics and the Odds, Violent Persecution and Discrimination Escalating. Won't get into the numbers, but 365 million Christians worldwide suffer high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. So whoever's doing that, that's evil. Churches are being burned down. Homes are being burned down. 5,000 Christians were officially murdered in 2023. Schools, hospitals burned to the ground. 42,800 Christians were attacked and beaten for their faith. Do I have compassion on those wicked people?
Yeah.
But do I identify it first and foremost as being wicked and awful and in desperate need of repentance? That God might even forgive a persecutor. And this is why we go, this is why our guts should still be filled with compassion, even as we identify wickedness as evil. It's because God is willing to even forgive an abortion doctor. He's willing to forgive a maid doctor. He's willing to forgive those who persecute his beloved children. And we are called to do likewise and proclaim that good news with compassion and sometimes some denunciations. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.